Welcome to the Penny Arcade Staff Podcast. Today we have a group that is back from PAX Australia, and it was a very different PAX. This will probably mostly be a Robert storytelling podcast since he had the biggest effect. But who's here?
This is Nico.
Eric.
CK.
Eric K.
Turns out, in order for me to get on a podcast, I have to go to Australia.
You're on podcasts all the fucking time. What are you talking about?
This is Robert.
You were on that anime one. I remember that.
Yeah, so, it was like 6 months ago.
How was Australia?
Australia was a really fascinating experience.
Yeah,
I thought it was great.
Yeah,
I didn't think it was fascinating. I just thought it was really cool.
All right, well, breaking it down, it was an awesome show. Like,
yeah,
without a doubt, it was probably one of the best PAXs we've had. Vibe was great. Show floor was great. Content was great. It was good. People were happy. That's at the end of the day, that's what matters. But
yeah,
As everyone that is, I'm going out on a limb to say that 100% of the people that are listening to this podcast are aware.
Probably.
It was a very different PAX because Krahulik got sick right beforehand. And it was a harrowing experience to not only scramble for Plan B, but also implementing it. But before I get into all that, how about your PAXs? How's your PAXs, guys?
It was great. I love seeing, like, the other PAXs, I see the sort of same sort of people like three times a year.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, I only get to see most of them once a year. So
yeah,
it was great.
Probably about 100% more pin trading.
Yeah, well, I guess they get us less often because a lot of those people do multiples. You know, in the U.S.,
I can keep a single lanyard all day at U.S. shows now, whereas Australia, I went through three on the first day.
Yeah.
It was crazy. It was great.
Yeah,
I wanted to buy the merch light first and second days. I just went through, I don't know, I probably did 40, 50 trades, like individual people, traded with individual people. Like, and each one of those was four pins with me because I was trading for four people. Mm-hmm. So.
Oh, yeah.
You were busy.
It was
busy. Geez.
I thought it was a cool PAX. I really like the convention center. I think it's a cool convention center. I also really like the last PAX that I was at was Prime. And there's a section of this PAX that's like almost the opposite of Prime, which is we have all the like tabletop, console free play, classic arcade. All of those are in a big section together in the convention center.
We have a single area where people hang out.
Yeah, and so I thought that was really cool to have versus Prime.
We don't even have that in Boston.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. And so it's like, you know, you kind of just check out arcade for a little bit and then go check out some tabletop stuff and bounce over to console free play. It just made it super easy to glide around and, you know, go look at people playing Johann Sebastian Joust for a bit, you know, and go like it just was really cool to have everything together. Whereas at Prime, you know, you're doing like a 5 minute walk over to check out tabletop, and then going to go, you know, up to the sixth floor to check out console free play. So it was a really different vibe. It's cool at Prime too because then you kind of have these like zones of things, but it's just different. It's a really different feel. But I like that about Australia. But overall, Australia, it was great. Great PAX.
How did you like being Josh?
Yeah, it was Josh a little bit, helping out Robert, carrying his green tea. This is primary.
Green tea Sherpa?
Primary responsibility. I went to this grocery store that had it in downtown Melbourne, and like I did a full inventory of their stock and was messaging Robert. They've got like six of this refrigerated, seven of this on the shelves, and you know, asked him what he wanted. I end up like carrying home 22 of these teas, like one in each arm. It was like a 25-minute walk where I'm just like, ah.
It's a good thing you have the bicep.
This was all shoulder, but yeah. So that was fun. I was Josh a little bit.
Just ship a couple cases with the merch next time.
Yeah, that's probably wise. But yeah, I don't know. I'm sure there's different rules for importing.
Maybe. Oh yeah. No,
and the volume it will look like it's a commercial thing.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Like I had.
But it's being shipped with commercial.
Yeah, but price. Food. But for
yeah,
food,
yeah,
it's
for
a little
food
different.
Different.
It's a little different.
Yeah.
Probably costs us a lot more.
But no, I mean, It was good to have you. It was good to have you. You suck as Josh, but it's good to have you. No, regardless, like he's just not a good Josh. I mean, he's a good Eric. I mean, what else? He's a great Eric. But you know, I mean, there was the tea situation on Sunday, right? Am I right?
Where you didn't have tea for like 30 minutes and started freaking out.
The tea situation will be forever remembered.
Oh, yes. Where I said, hey, when you get the on-site, can you drop the tea off at the show office so I can get it? And then an hour later, I'm like, where's my fucking tea? And, oh, where are you? Oh, my God. And
Eric, you fucking blew it.
And he says, oh, I'm sitting in the main theater watching the Q&A.
Just fucking ignore it altogether. He's like, fuck you. Doing what I want.
Well, see, I assumed that he was backstage. And
did you have the tea with you?
I had it with me. No. And I was, but I couldn't get backstage because it required a card. And so I was thinking that I would just head right backstage after.
Well, he did tell you to put it in a specific area.
Oh, interesting. That's interesting that he came to the same conclusion that I did, Eric.
You know, that was also the morning where I was dealing with one of our servers going down, and so I didn't even arrive until, like, I think you messaged me an hour earlier, but I wasn't even on the premises.
That sounds
at
like
that
an
point.
Excuse.
Again, I don't know. I don't remember the last time Josh has had to deal with some servers.
Right.
Air quotes. Server issues.
Yeah. Lesson learned. Next time I'm Josh, I'll put it in the fridge.
All right.
You know?
Just put it wherever you're told.
I'm sure Josh.
I'm sure fulfill the request that you were given.
Follow the instructions.
I'm sure Josh wasn't the perfect Josh the first time, you know?
Incorrect. No, Josh is always the perfect Josh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, his shoulders probably couldn't carry 22 home, so you
I
wouldn't
know.
Even,
you I have even carried hundreds of pounds of coins, okay? That's nothing. You
at
pussy.
The same time?
Why did you have hundreds of pounds of coins?
Because
yeah, wait a minute.
Before when we got like cookie braid stuff,
oh, okay.
I had to carry it around forever because we couldn't do anything with it for a long time. Okay. We had to take it directly to the bank. And so right. I just had a backpack full of coins and cash.
Literally
who would
hundreds
pay
of
coins to the cookie brigade.
That's it's, like a, you know, it's like a dollar for a cookie. So you have a few quarters, you buy a cookie, right?
That would make sense in Australia, too, because
they have the $1 coins.
Right.
Yeah,
they just have you there.
That was that in Australia?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. This is like in Boston. This is the worst time because then I walked when it started snowing to the bank downtown.
And there's nothing
there's
close
nothing
to the
convention.
Close
to the convention center there. Yeah.
And to be clear, I don't want your job. you can have it.
Sure.
I'll fill in. I'm glad to help out, right?
Yes. And I appreciate you you helping. It was definitely necessary. Because, again, like I was, as Josh had alluded to and all of you know, I was on stage for quite a bit more time than I normally am. And it's not just the onstage time, but there's prep time associated with that. And and so, you know, I was no Michael by any means, but I was, you know, I got a lot of good feedback from
it. I think that it went great.
Yeah. They appreciated your style.
My style.
Yeah.
My style.
You provided quite a bit of content. And I think Jerry can work with anyone.
Yeah, I mean, what's interesting is that normally Jerry is the straight man,
yeah,
right, with Mike and Jerry on stage. But obviously that was not going to happen for this. So he was able to adjust and shift into this other person, this other Jerry, which is frankly the Jerry that like the most of us in the office know because it's not like there's always a mic there to riff against. And so, yeah, that was comforting to know that he could fill that void without any problems.
And you have great stories that most people never hear about.
Yeah.
There are some interesting stories. Josh, did you watch any of it?
No.
They're great.
Totally didn't even think about that. I'm there. So I'm like, oh yeah, there's a stream. I forget.
It's fine. You can watch it on the stream. It's on, it's on twitch.tv/PAX. And then you have to click like 100 different links and maybe you'll run into it.
Yeah, good luck, guys.
That is literally the discoverability.
I thought there was on the forums or Reddit. I felt like there was a thread that linked to the different things. But
maybe with the different time codes, like, because that's general. That's like that's literally how I'm sharing it right now. I know that they're splicing it up and putting them up, and but like I think they're right now on day two or something like that. They're working on it.
Wait a few days.
I mean, it was interesting because there were so many different components that we had to address. The obvious things are the panels. Okay, I can fill in on the panels. Oh, Chris is there. He can fill in on the Mega Strip. That's great. Then there was the Child's Play auction, which went off fantastic, by the way. We raised like 16 grand for it. Auctioned off 9 items. Eric, nice. Thank you for putting that all together. And Guy, if you're listening, tremendous job there. Then there was the final round of the Omegathon.
Mm-hmm.
There was the signings. And, you know, we did the free print from Michael, which was great. We also did the trying to figure out the distribution of pins for Michael. Rejiggering the pin training event, which by the way, I thought went great.
Yeah. I think it was probably our best one.
I mean, but the volume is so, I mean, it's so weird because in the different PAXs on the state side, we'll cap the line and then that's that. Whereas we can't cap the line because when the pin training event starts, there's like 20 people there.
Yeah.
And then because Australians don't line up for anything. They show up at the last minute.
They haven't learned yet.
No, the final round this year was jam-packed, all right?
Yeah.
Full. When it was supposed to start at 5:30, I went out there and there was maybe 200 people outside. It just doesn't make any sense.
The event started, people were still sitting down. People were still...
They're considering, you know, it starts now. Now they have a 30-minute load-in time.
It doesn't make any sense.
No.
It's cool. As an attendee, it's great for them. Like at East and Prime, it's like hours before for these big events.
Or like, well, hey, that's a good idea for American attendees. Come over. You'll be first in line all the fucking time.
And we hurt ourselves with Wombat because we timed it such that you could jump from Wombat to main theater back and forth. Like nothing overlapped for the most part. They could just go back and forth and get all the content without waiting any lines. So
very odd. Very, very odd.
One of the things that I liked about the way that we changed the pin trading event was that it seemed like the let people in chunks, very short period of time they could stay there, but they had the option to get back in line to do another circuit.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that circulation, and you didn't get people lingering back and forth. We didn't have the games.
What?
No games.
No games.
It was like, I brought a game, but I was just so freaking frazzled from everything else. I just didn't have time to set it up.
Yeah.
So it'll be back, fuckers. Don't you worry. I'm not talking to you listeners. I'm talking to Kiko.
We did 20-minute chunks for those that weren't there or didn't notice.
Right.
Oh, were they 20 minutes?
Yeah. We did 40 at 20.
It was a really good flow. It kept the energy up because there was a constant circulation of people.
Yeah, it was good.
Someone on the forums had an idea to have a big digital clock that has the countdown, their 20-minute countdown or whatever the time limit is, to get them sort of motivated to know, hey.
I'll bring the strip clock.
Yeah.
Beep, 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 beep.
Oh, funny aside, I was I had a meeting yesterday with some folks, and I was showing, we're sort of going through all the things that we were doing, and these were like older executive types, you know, in their 50s, I guess. And they're in my office and they wanted to see Strip Search. And so I pulled up Strip Search, and one of them asked, and this was at my desk, and one of them asked, as you know, Mike and Jerry popped up, and they're like, oh, are those your kids? And I was like, yeah. And they started asking me like all these questions about them. And and then I realized about like, I don't know, fourth question in, that they were not talking about Mike and Jerry when they said we're there, because they were looking at a picture of my niece and nephew. And I was like, and then they, like, you know, once like the child rearing stuff came out, I was trying to wonder whether or not they were talking about like their kids, like Mike and Jerry's kids. And
they're really going for it.
And then I said, oh, wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
I'm sorry. Like, are you talking about, you're talking about my niece and nephew. Like I had a photo, like kind of like by my computer, and they're like, yeah. And I was like, God, that's really weird that that went that long. But, They're my kids, turns out.
What I thought was really cool was PAX Rising was like a quarter of the exhibit hall.
Yeah. Oh,
there were so many little indie games.
Yeah. The Australian indie development scene is so strong. It's unbelievable. Like, they are, it's crazy because, you know, they've got a population of 23 million people, but I think that sort of lends itself to its strength where they are more reliant on each other and it's more mm-hmm. of a community, the indie side. And whereas I think that in the States, it's a bit more cutthroat. I think indie developers are more competitive
right.
over
it might,
here.
It might have a little to do with maybe how much games cost there too.
Oh, as far as being more affordable.
Yeah, making more affordable games and, you know.
Could be.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it is pretty crazy.
It was impressive, though. A lot of people commented that, you know,
yeah,
I
mean,
impressed with how much.
Like, our PAX, the PAX Rising setup in Australia is sort of our model for how we want to take things in the other three shows. Mm-hmm. And you saw a very small, like, foot in the water of it at Prime, where we had,
right.
I think it was 10 booths like mm-hmm. that, where we were able to curate and put folks in there. And that'll eventually grow.
But in Oz, there was like three different formats.
Yeah. Yeah. There was like, there was like a small, medium and large sort of thing setup that we mm-hmm. sold. So, you know, it worked well.
Hmm. Yeah. There's a bunch of games in there, a couple dozen more,
but they're all real mm-hmm. solid.
Yeah. Yeah. They're
real
good.
Solid titles.
Yeah. I sat and watched a couple look pretty fun.
Did anything unusual happen during any of your, on stage appearances or any of the different things that you had to do?
It's the first time we had fireworks in the main theater.
Fireworks instead of fire?
Yeah, just fireworks.
Wow. Ceiling's not that high in there.
You know,
they're like the spark, like the
fire, the like fire code, mountains. The fire code.
Is there a fire code?
There supposedly is, but the fire code regulations there are so lenient. It's shocking to me. Like, things that are so obvious, like buildings don't require like the exit points, the egress points to have push bars for exits.
Hmm.
So you could like theoretically, and they're not even required to be pushed. Like, there are so many places where I've seen where the doors to the exit are pull, which means that you could easily, if you ever were in a situation where, you know, a bunch of people got pushed up against it, you're all dead. You're all fucking dead. There are a bunch of points where they mag lock things and there's no way to get out of it. And then I remember asking one of the folks, I was like, you know, how is this even allowed? They're like, oh, when the fire alarm goes off, the mag locks unlock. I was like, well, there's so many situations in which it's not fire related, but you need to leave. Like, it's just so bizarre.
Hmm.
Yeah, we almost lost our final Meganauts. They got up because the game it finished and they started walking towards the front of the stage and somebody grabbed them. Mm.
Didn't know that part.
I was having to photo that final thing, so I was watching it through my lens. The whole
Chris
time.
Grabbed him.
Yeah, Chris grabbed him.
Chris.
So it turns out that Jerry is really horrible at Tetris.
I think it's the pressure probably too.
Jerry's been not, up there a lot. And
yeah, but
Jerry's
fine.
Not good at retro consoles.
I guess he was a PC guy.
He did not play them.
Oh, you're right. He was a PC guy.
He never played those retro consoles. Mm. And you're also, these controllers are really old.
Whatever, man. I played fine on them. I don't know what to say. And I was shocked how poorly the Meganauts actually did in the final round. Like,
well, remember when?
Oh, I remember.
You remember?
I remember when we found the one person that had never played Tetris before.
Wasn't it the two people?
No, they're not. It was just one.
It was just the one.
It was just the one, and the reason, and I think it was 06.
06, yeah, I think.
06 Prime final round, where it was Tetris was the final round, mm-hmm. and the person won essentially because the other person just kept on dying.
It's like he'd never heard of Tetris.
Yeah, he was like, what is this?
Interesting mechanics.
This is pretty groundbreaking.
This is innovative.
This game, I think, is going to be big.
The guy won a Scion because the other guy had never played Tetris before.
Yeah. Yes.
Although I had never played Dr. Mario.
Yeah, but Dr. Mario is not as ubiquitous as
it's Tetris. But I would have, that would have been.
You can
my
just go to
Ryan's time.
Office and play all the Dr. Mario.
Yeah. I should check it out.
Ryan did a great job of emceeing the Omegathon. Mm-hmm. He is a little more snarky than Travis ever could be.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but what's pretty adorable is knowing Ryan, he's a little shaky on stage. He's a little nervous. It's really adorable.
He's
not used to speaking like Travis is, who's a teacher.
Sure.
He's used to speaking to audiences and commanding the room.
Yeah. It's
where Ryan, a little shaky, it's really cute.
I also got the feeling that there was a lot of there was way more snark in Ryan's head than he was willing to.
that's probably what a lot of that was.
He was holding it back.
He was censoring himself in his head, so that's why.
That's true.
Yeah. You can't. Yeah.
He can be a real asshole sometimes.
Yeah, for real.
He wants to be.
For real. Oh, that Jackbox Games panel was awesome.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That was really great. Good. That was a weird experience to see. Like, audience involvement at that level at a panel is really cool and strange.
Mm-hmm.
And to see the number of participants go up.
Yeah, and you see it on Twitch and whatnot, but to see it, to know that everyone's there and whatnot was really, really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And the game was set up so that it mattered. Like, the audience's votes to those responses
determined winners. Yeah.
Was like at least 2/3 of the points. Like, you could win from the people on stage, but
it skewed it, but in a good way.
It'd be interesting to see how many of those participants were on Twitch, were watching the stream.
Well, to be honest, it's a little hard because the natural delay of Twitch means that those that vote, you're essentially. In a lot of ways.
But you get it on your phone.
Do you want to explain how it works?
Impossible.
Impossible?
The only thing you have on your phone is the ability to vote, though.
It shows you the questions.
Oh, I guess it does. That's true.
But it's late. It is later.
But the problem is, like, you don't get to see, like, you have a much tighter window to react.
Yeah.
Because you're not getting all the information as people as live. And what we learned was that Fibbage XL2 was fun, but not nearly as good for this particular format as Quiplash, because I think that allowing Quiplash gives the people on stage more leeway to, I guess, be funny.
Yeah, Fibbage has an extra layer of complexity that doesn't quite translate to an event like that.
Yeah.
It still worked pretty great, but not as good, not as well as
Quiplash. Yeah. Quiplash is great, and big thanks to the Jackbox Games guys. They flew down for it to help us administer
custom
it,
so audio.
It was cool. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Really cool.
Custom questions. Yeah, it was good.
We will definitely do it again. I will say that the Enforcer community down there is insane, and like, it's in a good way, but they're fucking crazy. Like, they are so amped up
they
about
are,
the show.
But the other thing is, they are everywhere.
Yeah, we all
there's
a
lot.
Well,
of
we overstaffed.
Okay.
We overstaffed.
Then that's what I noticed.
We may.
We overstaffed, but we need to rebalance some areas.
We were saying about the fire code, things are more lenient. That seemed to extend to the events people too. When I was on the scissor lift.
Oh yeah.
They're like, dude, let's just go for it. It's going crazy. And it was very unique experience based on
the
stuff that we have
to
deal with in the States.
It's like, if it's cool enough, they'll go,
let's totally do it.
This is awesome. Like, because the fire code guy was there when we did fire last year. He's like, turn it up.
Yeah, the fire marshal was looking at it and he was like, man, you really need to, you need to amp this up.
Yeah.
And we're like, okay. And then we almost killed everyone.
Yeah.
These things happen.
For the show. Let's see. The city was awesome, as always. It was better weather this year than last year.
Yeah.
What? Weather was psychotic at this
year's last year was fucked, man.
Really?
Last year was awful. This year was reasonable. Last year was, ask Dave. Trust me. It was.
Okay. I was there for a shorter period of time. And it seemed like it was more.
It was so much colder last year.
Hmm.
It got into
right, but at least it was consistent. Whereas at this show, it was like 80 degrees and muggy, and then an hour later, it was pouring rain.
I don't mind that. I don't mind that. I just don't like. I don't like rain and cold and wind. It's the cold.
I don't like having to go back to my hotel and change because the weather changed in the span of an hour.
Yeah, it did seem like it fluctuated a lot.
Wait, where were you staying?
At the Oaks.
That was the one across the river, right?
Yeah.
We should have let them know about our route too, by the way.
Let who know?
Maybe. Oh, you were at the Oaks too.
Yeah, he was at the Oaks.
Hey, we should have let them. We should let them know about our route
through the. Yeah.
Yeah.
That doesn't.
Did you cut through the crown?
Oaks, though?
It gets you 80% to the Oaks.
What is it? Through the crown?
It is.
That's the wrong direction.
Trust me. It's not.
The Oaks is across.
It's Australia, so everything's backwards. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Like you walk right in front of the crown and then go across the bridge to the Oaks. You'd never have to enter the crown. You
I'm
don't
just
go
saying,
past the crown.
You can walk through the crown.
I mean, you could walk through it.
Then in front
I'm just
of
saying
it.
If you want to be dry.
Well, okay. All right.
Yeah. To I did
fair.
That.
Yes.
There's a secret route, though. But anyway.
But we have to go across a bridge, and there's no...
We'll talk later.
No cover.
You just bring some clothes with you. Extra clothes.
Imagine that. Prepare.
Was the Melbourne Cup a little bit after PAX this time? Because it seemed like...
No, it was the same.
It
which
was the same?
That, same.
Okay.
Exact same. Yeah. The exact same, but it was...
It didn't feel like as much an impact.
It
like,
didn't
I
feel
I didn't
as,
feel
as
feel party as much, people, yeah. I guess.
I don't know why that was.
Wasn't it like a... big deal last year though, like wasn't it a special one or something?
Was it an anniversary or something like that?
Like or like a horse was doing really well, like it was gonna do the
I don't know,
you know like
the equivalent of the triple crown.
Yeah,
I don't
or
know.
Something.
I don't know. But I'm not in that world.
You mentioned something about it on the plane and everyone cheered and I was like, I don't even know what
oh, they
well,
mentioned on the plane
because
it was the first female
jockey?
It was the first female jockey that won.
Okay.
Anything else? Did anything else happen?
I mean I had a good PAX otherwise, but it was like normal PAX stuff.
Yeah.
Your first trip to Australia, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. How was your pre-trip?
I had a bunch of things going on in the pre-trip. So Dave and I, we cycled the Great Ocean Road, which was like 200 miles.
From where to where?
Warrnambool, back towards Melbourne.
How many miles?
North or?
200, he said.
It was around
200 miles.
Yeah.
East, heading east.
So yeah, so we rented bikes in Melbourne. We took a train to Warrnambool, and then we biked most of the way back. And then there was like a little last bit that wasn't really interesting. And so we trained for that. We took a train across that. But yeah, so it was 3 days of fairly heavy cycling. The first day was the most spectacular, like scenic part where there's the 12 apostles.
I saw some of the photos that you took.
Yeah.
Pretty crazy.
It's really pretty. We basically were stopping like every mile and going and because the road that we were biking on wasn't right on the coast. It was like 100, 200 yards away. Mm-hmm. And so we would pull off, walk to the viewpoint, take some pictures, enjoy it, then get back on the bikes, go another mile, stop again.
Like, that's why it took 3 days.
Yeah. It was that night I think we got to our hostel at like 9 o'clock. We were riding in the dark with lights on our bikes because there was just so much to see along the way. And then the second day was that was all the elevation gains were in that day. There were two like really serious hill climbs, super hard. And then the third day, it rained the whole day. And that was the most scenic bike path. Like, it was a road that was right along the edge of these, like, cliffs, and the ocean was to the side. So it was really pretty, but rainy. Like, across the trip, we had 4 flat tires. On the last day, my bike was getting worn out, so, like, the chain it came off a couple of times.
Ugh, that's not good. That's scary.
Yeah. Well, and it was funny because...
time messed up my face.
We were kind of doing, like, we were doing a train. It was Dave was in front, and then his girlfriend, and then me in the back because I had the bike the tire repair kit. So mm-hmm. if anyone got flat, then I'd be in the back. But I was in the back. And we're like flying downhill, and you know when you're going downhill, you're trying to get as much momentum as you can. And I'd be shifting up so that I could grind it out. But it was the shifting up that was causing the chain to fall off. And so, like, I'm halfway down the hill. The chain comes off. Erica's in front of me just, like, blazing away. And I'm, like, yelling at her. Like, I'm not going to be able to follow you. My chain's off. You know, because ideally we'd be able to just, like, take that momentum up the hill. But I couldn't. So that happened multiple times. And then I was also having trouble changing gears on that third day. Both of them were sick. So we had our trials on this trip, but it was really pretty, really fun. And then we got back for a couple of days. And then I went and did a trip to Sydney by myself. I took the train over, which was like a 12-hour train ride. So that was boring. Like, I wanted to see what Australia looked like.
Doesn't take long. Doesn't take 12 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. It would have been boring if it was 2 hours. Mm-hmm. But I got there. Wandered.
So you're not recommending the train to Sydney?
No, I would recommend flying. Yeah, I flew back, fortunately. But then, yeah, I walked around Sydney. I started getting sick during the Sydney part, but I still walked like 22 miles on average each day, just all around the city, checking out all the beaches and
That was one of the differences between this year and last year was crazy allergies.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what it was. They were saying that it got warm early.
Hmm.
So I know a lot of people were suffering.
Yeah. I had to get eye drops immediately. Yeah. It was bad out there.
Yeah, that might have been a little bit of what was going on for me too. But yeah, Sydney was cool. They have big bats there though.
For real. We were trying to... Okay, so Dave and I were like, all right, hey, when you go to Sydney... make sure to check out the fruit bats.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, yeah, that's cool. I like bats. And we're like, dude, no, you don't understand. and, you know, we kind of like gestured with our hands, you know, like wider than shoulder length. Like, yeah. You just wait until you see these bats. And Eric was like, yeah, ha, ha. And then like later, like I would say like 5 minutes later in the conversation, he was like, well, wait a minute. When you say this big, like how big are you talking about? And we're like, no, dude, you don't understand. They're like a meter wide. And he's like, no. And then we started pulling up all this fruit bat information for him online. And yeah, he was a little rattled. And then
it was like 3.5 foot wingspan.
Yeah.
They won't get tangled in your hair. So this you're okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Just go straight for the neck.
Fruit bats, man.
Yeah. But yeah, I did see them. I was walking home at night. And I could see them flying between the trees. And
wait,
like,
so I thought you were going to a zoo.
No.
No, they're just around. They're in like... Yeah.
They're like ravens or something. They're just out.
You see
and
them all over. There's like kind of like a Central Park area in Sydney. Okay. And like you just see them going in and out of this fucking forest area all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they are huge and they hang upside down.
It's
like
close to Halloween, so...
And they're and like even when they're hanging upside down, they're like, you know, 2 feet tall.
Yeah, I wanted to see one
that's
that way.
That's fucking gross.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I didn't see one that way. I just saw them flying, and it was like the size of a seagull, but its profile was totally different. You know, I could tell.
Okay, so you're like talking about bats the size of small children.
Yes. Yeah, they're fucking huge.
That's not okay.
Oh, hey, speaking of Australian National Wildlife here. I got a fucking Dave story I'm fucking pissed at him for. I got super pissed at Dave at PAX. Okay, so
I know this. So
Dave, Eric, and I are staying. Dave, Eric, Bronham, and I are. Sorry. Dave Bronham. I don't want that to be confused. Dave, Eric, and Bronham. Dave Bronham and I are staying in an apartment, a 3-bedroom apartment together. And this is traditionally, I normally stay with Dave in general, just like, mm-hmm. You know, that's just sort of how we operate. And in the 4.5 years that I've been going to Australia, no, 5 years I've been going to Australia now for, you know, PAX prep and whatnot, I've actually never seen a spider there. All right. And everyone's talking, you know, it's like, oh, spiders are deadly, et cetera.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And despite, you know, the Australians always saying, oh, yeah, you know, there hasn't been a death from a spider in over 20 years. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, yeah, it's because you go through like spider training. You know, yeah. I mean, as some dumb American, we just fucking roll around the ground and die. So Dave and Eric are going to leave the apartment. Okay. And they open the door and Eric exits. Dave is about to exit, and then Eric points out, oh my God, look at that spider, okay? And there's a spider, just for context, the body is about the size of a quarter, okay? Mm-hmm. The body of this spider is the size of a quarter,
mm-hmm.
All right? And so I'm like in my boxers and like I'm wearing like socks, right? I'm certainly not wearing shoes.
Looking amazing. By the way,
thank you. That was the point of that. I'm glistening. Okay?
This story's over.
And all right, so there we go. That's it. See you next week, everyone. No, so the spider is like in our doorway, okay. And Eric is in the hallway. Dave, the spider is in front of Dave, and I'm looking at Dave, And I go, Dave. And he's like, I don't know. And I go, Dave, kill the fucking spider, man. And he's like, oh, all right. So he grabs a paper towel and like drops it on the spider. Okay. Just like it fucking like Forrest Gump, the feather just like fucking comes down, lays it on the spider and just sort of like half-heartedly tries to like stomp it. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, dude, what the fuck are you doing? And Dave, you have to understand, is like a pacifist, okay?
Yeah.
The reason he's a vegetarian is because, it's not because he does not like meat or anything like that, but he doesn't feel like it's fair to be able to eat meat if he doesn't think that he can kill an animal, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, here's the deal, okay? If there is something that could potentially kill you, and again, we don't know. We don't know. All we know is that this is a spider. It's in Australia. It's fucking huge. You know, you kind of have to act upon it. You have to.
You're not going to take that bet.
Yeah. Yeah. Unless you're Dave, apparently. And so Dave just sort of like half-heartedly like just sort of steps on the paper. And then as we all watch in horror, the spider runs away and then somehow slips underneath our fucking carpet.
Okay. Gross.
I still do not even know how that happened.
He disappeared.
Eric?
I didn't see it go under the
carpet. Oh, really?
Yeah.
But so it somehow squished itself in between the baseboard and the carpet and went into the carpet.
Well, so one clarification, though. Mm-hmm. So when Dave put the paper on it and was trying to stamp on it, it was more challenging because it had moved into the corner of the doorway. So, like, you know, where the part where the door opens up and it kind of there's that wedge in the corner. Yeah. It was in that little wedge. So, like, his foot actually couldn't fit in there.
So you
cleanly.
Get something with a corner and you jam
this
it in
exactly
there.
That's exactly what
dead.
I said.
Yeah. But that
you make sure that you're going to kill it. You find something to make sure that you're not going to miss.
Yeah. But that,
and that's long enough away. So
God, imagine
somehow
if Josh
climb
was
up there and
oh,
get to your hand.
I was so
but there
angry.
Wasn't something like that within arms, within reach.
That is bullshit.
There's
so
probably
many
a kitchen right
reach.
By the door.
There's literally a drawer.
But not arms reach.
Another there classic a, example about how Eric is not Josh.
There's a drawer. There's a drawer just within arm's reach. Especially
full of knives.
Full of Dave,
cut it right
especially
in half.
Dave's arms reach. Full of just utensils.
The whole world is within Dave's arms
honestly,
reach.
Honestly, like they're just like there's like you could there's a wooden spoon that would have worked.
So the spider was in the corner. He wasn't able to get it, and in that time it moved into the carpet,
well,
which was
the
behind
the
door
paper
and
towel
into the carpet.
Help.
No, it didn't. No, it moved. It walked past the door in which Dave was then trying to like sort of kick it. And then kept on going.
He was trying to kick it out of the apartment?
No. I don't know what the fuck he was doing. And it moved past the threshold of the door swinging, past another 2 or 3 feet, and then scurried into the carpet. So now...
Yeah, I couldn't see that from my angle.
Yeah. So now at this point, there is a potentially deadly spider living with us.
So you switched apartments.
You just stomped the shit out of the carpet
was,
all
well,
around
okay.
there.
But so Dave got a plate, it was a square shaped plate, and he pushed at the carpet to try and get it.
What the fuck
so he
is
did
that
for a
do?
While
again
along the edge.
The spider has already left the build and left the proverbial building and is now living with us. It is the fourth roommate.
So he was blind. Yeah, he blindly tried to kill it under the carpet, and then we left.
With me in the fucking apartment. Now, keep in mind, there was like an argument between Dave and I for like 10 minutes after this. Where like, I'm yelling. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, I tried to kill it.
Robert was not happy.
I was not happy.
He was not happy at all.
Like, I think that's probably the first time that like
you
Eric's ever seen me get mad at anyone. Like, legitimately
like
mad.
Truly
anyway.
Mad.
He was legit mad.
Were
you starting to feel uncomfortable?
Sure. Yeah, you could say that.
Well, you have to understand, especially with Dave, and I'm not sure if you heard this, I have to tell Dave when I'm angry. Because Dave doesn't...
You guys work so close for so long.
Yeah, and Dave doesn't know that I'm angry. So in the middle, I'm not sure if you heard me say, I was like, Dave... I just need for you to know that like I'm legitimately angry right now.
Yeah, you said that. Yep. I thought you were actually gonna move to a different room. Like, I thought that might happen. But do we want to close out the story?
You can. It's not my story to tell.
So Dave and I left to go get acai bowls at this great smoothie place. And
after not killing a spider, you're going to go get the acai bowls.
And they were delicious. I really liked it. It's a place I went to a bunch of times, even though it was a 30-minute walk away. And then when we came back, Dave was in front. He opens the door and stops. And right in front, on the carpet, is the fucking spider. And so like he looks at me and he looks back at the spider and the spider starts running into the kitchen. And as soon as it gets into the kitchen, the hard tile of the kitchen, Dave stomps it. And then he puts his foot up and he looks at me and says, "You saw that?" I was like, "Yeah, you got it." And so then he gets a piece of paper and he wipes it off the carpet and he wipes off the tiles and then wipes it off his shoes and throws it away.
But you know what's funny is that Dave never tells me. Dave never tells me.
That's
you were the
real useful.
So it was the same spider. I mean, it was exactly the same size and
well,
type.
You know, they kind of look.
What it
looked
like? Squish. Jesus, that thing must have been fucking huge.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a mess.
Yeah.
And he looked it up too. Like we think it was the certain type of spider that's not poisonous that kills insects.
Huntsman.
I think it was a huntsman. Yeah, I think that was right. I saw one of those in Sydney when I was walking around. I saw it on the stairs, and it was a bigger one.
Yeah,
and I went back down the stairs.
Yeah, those things are gross.
Nope.
Yeah, it was at night, and I'm just like walking along, and oh shit!
All right, so one of the benefits that the Melbourne Convention Center has above all other PAX convention centers, 5 minutes away, bubble tea.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, which place?
There's an easy way. In the food court at the mall that's connected to them.
The DFO.
The DFO.
On the first floor. I stopped going there last year because they changed their lineup.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't actually drink it anymore.
It's very helpful when you're not co-shooting a PAX.
That quick access.
Yeah, they changed the pie face menu too. Now they took away their two non-dairy options.
Hmm.
Can you believe that?
Yeah, I went there on the first day with Dave.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't go there again.
Hmm.
It was all right.
You wanted more acai bowls, got it?
Yeah.
I get it.
You're not going to find acai bowls at the pie face.
Right. I mean, we do need to properly conclude the spider story, though. The moral of the story is that Robert turned Dave into a killer. Right?
Oh, yeah, that's what we said.
We have decreased Dave's hesitation to kill. Right
now, he's got a taste for it.
There was heavy hesitation, and that was greatly reduced. He was admonished. He will kill more quickly in the future.
Well, you know,
what would you have done? I'm
more like Dave in that response.
Yeah,
I would have tried to trap it and take it outside.
Yeah.
Why the fuck would you do that?
Because there was a lot of flies.
It's not America. You know, there's really dangerous ones. Just fucking kill it. It's inside anyways. They deserve to die if they come inside. It's not their home.
Well, so you got to keep in mind, like I was raised, my dad would keep the spiders in his apartment and he would talk to my sister and I about this. He would let them live and have a symbiotic relationship with them. He believed that they were killing the insects and he would not kill them. They kill the he had a deal going with them, right? So he would just let the spiders be.
Did your father know that spiders don't speak English?
And they also don't communicate telepathically?
You don't know that.
Like
that, maybe they don't speak English, but you don't know about the telepathy.
Right? Well, I can buy what you're saying.
None of this is confirmed.
But you, Kiko, are just being an asshole.
You know what, Eric? You are right. I do not know. I apologize.
Uh-huh.
To you and the audience.
Thank you. But I mean,
I overstepped my bounds.
But it's true. Like this is true. This is a true part of my history. And also, I think my mom and my dad both kind of were the types to like trap the spider and take it outside. Like that. This is a common part of my upbringing.
I know plenty of people like this, and I understand that. But I understand that in the United States, like Josh says, like. There is there's a non-zero chance of that spider potentially being deadly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's I think is the extra bit of information that pushes me over into definite kill mode, you know. But I totally get it. I totally get it.
Like, I think it looked regular enough. Like, what? If it is,
you've never seen a spider like that in your whole life. True?
Yeah, not quite like that, but it was still that like brownish thing.
Oh yeah, what's a brown recluse? A brown recluse is a brownish thing.
Brown recluses prefer darkness.
Whatever.
And damp places. They
yeah,
would just
that's
be
why
chilling.
It went under the carpet. I'm not saying it's brown recluse, but I'm saying
this one was
it's
on
a,
the door.
A regular brown spider
what did you go
is
to school
fucking
for?
Poisonous.
So. Why do you know so much about spiders?
I mean, I went
he
to
doesn't. I went he doesn't know shit about spiders. All right?
His dad collected them. That's why.
I remember
he knows
going,
all about them.
My uncle is a is an entomologist, like the insect person. I remember visiting him after he graduated college, and he had all these things like pinned to styrofoam.
Yeah, dead.
Like all these little. But no, in Texas, I remember seeing spiders that were all fucking crazy, like neon colors and shit. Yeah. Like
those probably, ones are actually not. Dangerous.
Maybe, but I would kill that. That scares me.
No way. Those are not.
And keep in mind, this is my first time in Australia. I don't have the same like everything's gonna kill me instinct. I was still calling on my North American spider instincts.
All the deadly spiders look normal.
He doesn't have 3 years of PAX fans warning us about.
Well, what's funny?
Everything.
It's funny. Like I literally the first time I went and met with our Australian team, like in full. They were telling me, and you know, they were all like, ha ha ha, yeah, spiders. and then saying, oh, you know, it's so rare, it never happens. You know, I mean, I don't know anyone that's been bitten. And then like guy raises his hand. He's like, well, actually, you know, I've been bitten. And everyone's like, oh, really? Wow, that's crazy. And then then literally later that day, we find out that the managing director of Reed Pop got bit by a redback that day. She lives in the city. It was in her fucking shoe.
Mm.
Fuck, man. Are you kidding me?
And then last year, just before the show.
Oh, yeah.
Guy had his whole arm bandaged up.
Oh, yeah. Guy got bit again.
From a spider?
From yes. a spider. His arm was bandaged up.
Yeah, he had to go. And he had to go get, you know, the shots. But yeah, you notice like when... Like I always put my shoes like up on top of things and like covered up the holes. When we
yeah,
were...
it's a fact. You did that. We had a bunch of fucking moths. I hate those moths. They're the same moths I have in my apartment.
Guess what? They're not going to kill you.
No.
Yeah, but guess what? But guess what? You fucking killed over and over and over again, you asshole
moths.
Yes. What the hell? What is wrong with you?
I fucking hate them. This is like my racial enemy. Like I've killed more than 100 of these things, no doubt. Like
the things that can absolutely in no way harm you.
Bullshit. They eat these T-shirts for this is like their favorite thing. They're wool moths. They create holes in them.
I can't even fucking look at him right now. I cannot even look at him.
Ridiculous.
I didn't say. Yeah,
you're a ridiculous
different.
Person.
It's different. The spiders actually probably would help me kill those wool moths.
You motherfucker.
In which case,
fucking someone end this podcast.
I might need to recruit more of them.
Yeah. All right. If you have any questions or topics you would like us to discuss, please email podcast@penny-arcade.com.
Bye.
Bye.
And if
go
you
to
have any hate
cool.
towards Eric, email it to me.
Yeah.
And I'll send
Landon,
it to him.
Yeah. Fuck
no.
that guy.
Brian. Bye.
Bye.